Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming to Civilized Barking. As we record this, and I promise training camp's been so long, I just had to check. It is Friday, August 27th. That means we are 2 days from the Browns preseason finale. That means we are 4 days from the Browns cutting to 53. And, you know, for a long time here, if you're listening, you know this, cut down day was a huge day because the Browns weren't going anywhere, right? And you were looking at the waiver wire and you were debating which sixth round pick versus which undrafted guy was going to make it and eventually save the franchise. So it still matters. It's still a big deal. And I think the Browns have some gymnastics to do. So what I wanted to do today, and regardless of whether the starters play or not, Stefanski's a couple hours away from making that announcement. I don't think that he will. Anyway, roster discussion will hold up. So we appreciate you listening, appreciate you reading. I wanted to bring on my friend Scott Pitrak. He's a longtime Browns writer for the Chronicle Telegram. You can also find his work at brownzone.com. Scott's at practice every day. And Scott and I do a lot of talking about this, arguing, I guess, to some point. So I just wanted to bring Scott on and bring the discussion that we already sometimes have standing on the practice field or over text at night and break down this roster, Scott. So I think probably, Scott, I think in spitting this out here, complicated is not the correct word, but I do think there's going to be some gymnastics involved. And I do think there are some potentially important decisions here as they look at some injured guys that, you know, the rule is you can't go on short-term IR unless you're initially on the 53. And then some guys that if they lose to the waiver wire or, you know, to another team some other way, could come back to bite them for depth purposes. You know, when you're a team that doesn't have a bye week until December and a team that's, you know, looking to play deep into January.
Yeah, that's a great point, Zach. And I think all the injuries in camp have kind of muddied the picture. Right. I think a couple of weeks ago, I would have felt more comfortable saying, yes, this guy's on the roster. This guy's not on the roster. They definitely keep X number at this position. But I think the injuries to some key players, right, some guys that are supposed to be in the rotation, if not starters, Grant Delpit, Anthony Schwartz, I think those kinds of things have made it cloudier for me.
Well, listen, I don't want to call anybody a liar, but I do think it's disingenuous to hear Mike Prefer say that Anthony Schwartz is in the return game mix. He's had no training camp at all. He's never returned kicks. So I know the Browns have a question at return game, but like a guy that's never done it and didn't have any camp at all is not all of a sudden going to be your returner. And you're not fooling the Chiefs, the Texans, anyone. Like it's a lie, right? It's a lie. We'll see. So, all right, Scott, there's a couple places I want to start. The team has given every impression, right, that Jacob Phillips is not necessarily done for the year, although they don't know. So if he goes to short-term, we know he had the surgery, right, for the torn bicep. So he going to short-term IR would mean he's going to take a spot on the 53 on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday he'd be placed on IR, which would allow the Browns to either bring someone back or probably more likely claim a kicker or a pass rusher, right? So that's one spot that we think we know. One spot we definitely know is Davion Davis. Now, he wasn't making the 53, but he's going to serve his 2-game suspension from the incident 2 years ago. So he won't count on any lists, and he'll be practice squad eligible in a couple of weeks if the Browns want to go there. So I think we agree on that, and I just want to go position by position otherwise. So at quarterback, let's just go right down the list.
Yeah.
They're keeping Baker and Case, right? And I think Kyle Laletta will be employed next week. I doubt another team claims him, but I think he ends up back on the Browns practice squad. Any quibbles with that?
Nope. And I'll just say this. Laletta, 3 weeks ago, I wasn't convinced that he was going to be the third guy on the practice squad.
Yeah.
But now I am. I think he's played well enough that you can live with him as your number three.
And I wanted to start there too for this reason. As the league has evolved and as the Browns roster has evolved, you know, some teams still bring four quarterbacks to camp, but some of them don't, and the Browns haven't. They know who their one is. They know who their two is. And there aren't a lot of reps for the threes in general, right? So there's certainly no reps for the four quarterbacks. So, you know, they brought in that Jordan Ta'amu and Chad Kelly for a workout. I think they'll certainly scan the waiver wire for other young quarterbacks. You have to take care of the position to an extent. But, you know, the fact is there just aren't reps for those guys. And you know, the Browns are getting – using camp to get their starters ready to play. So I think it's two. And it is an issue because we know that Case Keenum, his money is guaranteed for this year. It's not all guaranteed for next year, and he makes a lot of it, right? So especially if you're going to invest in Baker by then you'd probably go cheaper on the backup, and that is the game's most important position. Running back, we know who the top two are, obviously, and they're the best 1-2 punch in the league. I don't frame it, Scott, as D'Ernest Johnson versus Demetric Felton, because I think they're completely different players with different roles for this team and different futures in this organization. But I'm still not sure both make the team. And I am sure that Demetric Felton's making the team. They're not exposing him to the waiver wire. I'm calling D'Ernest Bubble Plus, I guess. I promise I didn't spitball it. If you guys listen, you know I'm a dork. I'm not that big of a dork. But I got to stop short of putting him in Sharpie here 4 days before the cut. What say you?
I think that's fair to say. I have him on my 53. I think they keep the four guys, if you want to include Felton as a running back. You know, we know he fits in both rooms. I think Felton, or I think Johnson, and that's – I asked Mike Creeper about this Thursday. I think he has huge value on special teams. He's not the best returner in the world, but he can return. He does everything else on special teams. He can be the, you know, personal protector in the punt game. And just watching him run the way he did against the Giants, I know it's preseason week two, but he's a different body type, like you said, than Felton. And you can trust D'Ernest Johnson to pick up a blitz on third down if Kareem Hunt gets hurt. And I don't know if you trust Felton to do that right now, which is why I have D'Ernest on the roster.
That is exactly right. So I have both of those guys making the roster. At fullback, it's a little murky. Now, I'm going to say that Johnny Stanton has no chance, and you guys who get too much into preseason results would disagree, and that's fine. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to be wrong. But I'm going to have Andy Janovich on the bubble. And part of it is Janovich, I believe, is a vested veteran, right? So he wouldn't be subject to waivers if the Browns need to do a little gymnastics.
That sounds right.
And I also believe that he's not necessarily in the plans. And Johnny Stanton being on the practice squad, if it happened this way, would give you the flexibility to the games you feel like you want a fullback, you could bring him up, right? But yeah. Like, he's a guy that you look at in this 50 to 53, and it is 53, but they're probably only going to be 50 bodies, as healthy bodies as we go through it. Three guys I think you're going to have to sneak through. You know, no one else is claiming him. I'd be stunned. And so I feel really confident Johnson and Felton are making it. And I feel no confidence in my selections at fullback.
I like that thought process there, Zach. And I hadn't really gone there in my head about keeping Stanton on the practice squad and then bringing him up for a given week. I like that thought a lot. I started to question, you know, when I did the, you know, the 53 in July, middle of July, I just assumed Janovich was on the roster. And then you start to watch practice and you don't see a lot of fullback. And then you see a lot of receivers. And I started to question, do they need to take up a roster spot with a fullback who played, you know, I think he played 10 snaps a game a year ago. And then it was about three a game in the playoffs. So I'm not convinced that Janovich makes a team. I'll just say that the other scenario is you keep Stanton on the roster and use him as fullback, fourth tight end. Now, you're probably right that you could do that through the practice squad. But I do think that Kevin Stefanski needs three tight ends every week. So you have to have that fourth guy somewhere, whether he's stashed on the practice squad or whether he's giving you five reps a game at fullback / special teams. I think Stanton's versatility means you could probably part with Janovich. It's just a matter of, like you said, where you stash Stanton.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are a year and a half invested into Stanton, right? And he was with Stefanski before that. So if you're looking for that true 53rd guy that's up, that's down, that, like you said, can plug in when you need him, he could be that guy. Now, Robert Jackson got cut the other day, end of an era, right? At least for now. That means that there are one or two spots for just special teamers on this team. And we know every team makes, right? This roster, there's probably not room for one. So is that D'Ernest? Is that Kadero Hodge? And again, I don't mean to put down JoJo Natson, who is a talented guy and at 153 pounds, a heck of a story. If you watch practice, you would think that he's got a chance to make this team.
Well, you wouldn't if you watched the games before he got hurt last year when they used him on all that jet sweep, end around action, right? That was a part of their offense that I really think they missed when Natson got hurt, and then it was only multiplied when Odell got hurt, who could do some of the same things, right? Obviously, Odell's role is so much bigger, but he has that threat to him that they didn't have when those two guys tore their ACLs.
Right.
But I'm with you with JoJo. Like, you watch him and you go, okay, man, he's out there. He's taking all these reps. I don't have him on this roster, which means they're going to have to kind of piece it together in the return game. I just feel like the injuries you talked about at the top and wanting to keep extra guys at different spots, I think JoJo Natson's the casualty.
Yeah, I mean, you're not keeping Schwartz, Felton, and Natson, right?
Right.
You're just not. And listen, I'm not going to put down – I'm not trying to put down Schwartz or anyone else or even the situations, guys. The fact is, you know, you have a 48 active players rule because teams deal with this all the time. So you have a 53, and you're just trying to get your guys ready for Sunday. But coaches think about getting ready for Sunday, and who can cover kicks matters, and somebody has to return kicks. I think it's going to be Felton. I'm just saying let's be careful not to completely – eliminate JoJo Natson. Now, I think you can, and I think if you need JoJo Natson in 3 weeks or 6 weeks, he's still going to be available, right? Unless another team loses a return guy. I don't think he's going to get gobbled up. But so at receiver, you have Jarvis and Odell, who are obviously making it. You have Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is obviously making it. We think Anthony Schwartz is obviously making it. You have Felton is potentially your fifth, right? You have Rashard Higgins, who I mentioned is almost a certainty to make this team. So that's six. And then Kadero Hodge is seven. So, you know, is it seven? If you count Felton, you know, is there a battle with Hodge? I think he's making this team, and I think he's probably the lead special teams only guy. But, you know, I think when you start to squeeze, you have to wonder if D'Ernest Johnson and Kadero Hodge are still on the team, both on the team.
Right. I agree with you. I think when you said Natson, Felton, and Schwartz, all three don't make the team. I feel the same way if you went Natson, Hodge, and D'Ernest Johnson, right? Yeah. Only two of those guys make the team. And I'm leaning toward Johnson and Hodge. And part of it is, you know, when you hear Prefer talk and he says the number one job of a returner is just to catch the ball and not give it up, I think that says, okay, we're not really looking for a guy that's going to be a game breaker, right? And therefore, we can find somebody to catch the ball. Whoever it is.
And D'Ernest can do that in a pinch. Right, he's shown he can do that. Right.
And Peoples-Jones can do it. I mean, Peoples-Jones, you know, and we love him and we think he's going to be the third receiver all year. I was not impressed with his return ability at all last year. And maybe that's because he was new to it. Maybe it's just because it takes him a while to build up that speed. But he could catch a punt, right? And he's not going to give it back to the other team. So that makes me think I guess I'm thinking they value – the gunning ability of Hodge, the overall special teams play of Johnson, D'Ernest Johnson, more than JoJo Natson, who nobody returns kickoffs anymore because they kick him out of the end zone. And, you know, three punts a game, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. I mean, I just think Sonny Michel got traded for two draft picks this week, right? So I think if D'Ernest Johnson hits the waiver wire, he gets claimed immediately.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he blocks, he plays special teams, and he can be – your third down, he would be a better third running back than half the league's third running backs, right?
Agreed.
And the Browns would love it if he gets no carries all year, unless they're beating somebody 42-0. But they know if they need him, he can run behind his pads, right? He can run down on kickoff. You know, he was just a misevaluation. Teams misevaluated him coming out of college. And when he got into Browns camp, they were, and this is three regimes ago, I know, but they were like, holy hell, this is a football player. And now that he's here, he's refusing to be let go. Now he's eligible for restricted free agency after the year. So he's going to price himself out of the Browns plans, right? Unless he would just continue to play for a minimum contract. But right now for a team trying to play 20 games, I don't think you can let Dearness Johnson wander. I just don't think that you can.
I'm with you. And you don't, I mean, not to interrupt, but you talk about the preseason games don't matter, and I agree with you, but I think he reminded me how hard he runs against the Giants, if anybody needed that reminder.
No, well, look at the game last year where Chubb goes down early, and then you had the big lead, and you used him for some carries. They were three-yard carries all except for one, but you used him for those carries to put him away. And I just think when you look at how this coach thinks and how this coach maps out how they're going to win games, you know, Felton can help the Browns down the road. I think if they're trying to win a week five game and either Chubb or Hunt went down, I think they want Dearness Johnson. I really do.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We agree with the three tight ends, right? And if there's a fourth, it would come from outside. I don't think it's anybody on this roster.
Yeah, unless that Stanton hybrid, you know, whatever. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So at offensive line, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we knew the five starters were going to make it, and we knew James Hudson was going to make it. We assumed Hubbard was going to make it, and we assumed Harrison Dunn were going to make it, right? Nine. A team that's this invested in the offensive line was going to keep nine.
Yep.
Well, I still think Hubbard's going to make it. I can't call him stone cold lock. And Michael Dunn has had an injury, and we haven't seen him in 2 weeks. I don't know the extent, but he's been on the practice field this week, but he, you know, on the bike, but he hasn't been out there. That's led to more snaps for Blake Hantz. Harris only had, what, a two-day injury scare? So
yeah,
we assume he's fine. So I think the five starters and Hudson. Are you in on Hubbard? Because I am.
I am, but I'm with you. If we're talking possible surprises when we get to Monday and Tuesday, Hubbard getting cut is one of those.
Yeah. And
but I think he's on the team.
Yeah, and I also think he's another guy who the Browns could go to and say, we have to release you, and we're going to bring you back.
Once yeah, like they did with
– sort it out with Greg Robinson.
When they tried that Greg Robinson thing a couple years ago.
I mean, look, I think a really underrated move of last year was instead of just cutting Chris Hubbard's big contract because he was no longer a starter, they renegotiated and kept him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Hub is a respected guy. Like, I can't see them letting Hub out of this locker room. If they have to do it for 2 days, they have to do it for 2 days. I can't, as long as he's healthy, and we have every reason to believe that he's healthy, right? So, you know, this.
And I talked to him last week, Zach. He says he feels good. And his versatility, right? It's not only that he can play the two tackle spots, he's probably your number one guard. I don't think Nick Harris can play guard in this league. I think Hubbard adds a lot of value.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to trade Drew Forbes. trade him or let him go. And that's just, I'm not going to claim to be an O-line expert, but that's just based on he's the old regime guy. Right. And he's come in and he's played well. You know, if some team thinks that he can play tackle in a pinch, he has trade value. He really does. But look, like, we don't think they want to get rid of Harris. He's their pick. Hance has stepped up and played center. This Greg Sinad is a college basketball player who's just learning. I mean, he's bounced around the league. Like, the Browns went and got him last year when he became available at this time of year. And I think some other team might do that, right? If they lose him. But I don't know. Is keeping 10 offensive linemen completely out of the question?
Probably not. I don't think they will. I mean, I think it's 9. I think you gamble with Sinat, right? Is there a scenario where they keep Sinat and not Hubbard? I suppose, but I don't think that helps you win week one if Jed Wills gets rolled into like he did last Sunday in Kansas City.
Right.
To me, I think it's done healthy because I thought he was the number one guard. If not, are you fine with Hance? And I think they are. I like your idea about Drew Forbes is possible trade. I'll tell you what, if you watch Bill Callahan light him up for about 20 straight minutes yesterday, you're not sure the guy can play in the league. But that's kind of who Bill Callahan is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you need, like I said, I don't think Harris has that flexibility. I think he's just a center, but I think he stays because they drafted him.
Well, right. Dunn and Hance can both play center, which in an ideal healthy world makes Harris expendable. Right. But we don't know, you know, what really they think. And J.C. Treader's 30 and makes $10 million. So I don't think Nick Harris is your starting center of the future, but they might. Right. Yeah. Let's just sum it up by saying this. Fair to say that's probably the single toughest position group to predict, O-line?
I think that, and I think when you go to the D-line, I think those are the two toughest.
Right. So we go to the D-line. Malik Jackson and Billings are making it, and Tommy Togiai is making it, and obviously your three ends are making it. Tack McKinley's back in practice. Every indication from watching practice would say that Porter Gustin is the fourth. Every indication from watching the preseason would say that Sheldon Day has become the fourth tackle, right? So that right now, that's 8. And that would leave Jordan Elliott outside. That would leave Malik McDowell outside. That would leave Joe Jackson outside. I think 9 is in play. And I certainly think that both of those areas is where the Browns would like to be active in outside candidates. But you're talking about the initial 53, you know, I think there's 6 locks. And then the question is, it 8 or 9 spots?
Yep. I'm with you. I think they keep 9. Part of that is because I'm not sure you can trust Tack McKinley, which maybe that's unfair, but he just left for 3 weeks. I don't know how much you can trust Jadeveon Clowney to stay healthy.
Yeah.
So I like having insurance there because, I mean, you play 8 guys a week at those 2 spots. I'm not, you know, you talk about Gustin, Zach, and you're right about who's getting the reps, but that doesn't always matter, right? Cuts happen. I mean, Javonte Moffitt's getting every rep at safety every day in every game, and I just don't think he makes this roster. So I think Gustin could be one of those guys that looks like he's going to make the team and doesn't. And if I'm picking a fourth end, it's Joe Jackson right now. To me, the question is, what do you do at D-tackle? You got the 3 locks, like you mentioned. I know that Dave's been playing a bunch. I know he's got a history with this coaching staff. I got a hard time getting him on this roster. I think Elliott and even Malik McDowell might jump him when it comes to do or die on.
Yeah, I agree. Here's my prediction for Malik McDowell.
Yeah.
He doesn't make the initial roster because I think they don't feel like another team would claim him given his history.
Sure.
You know, I think they feel like they took the chance. They've had him here. And I think they might want him on the practice squad for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks to get him more ready to play. When you watch him, Scott, like, and it was the Giants' third team offensive line and the Giants' first team offensive line isn't any good. Like, you see, like this is not a normal human being out there, right?
He's the biggest dude on the field. Like, every day I have that, like, realization is how big 58 is.
But I think if they have to look and say, okay, only the Cincinnati Bengals are going to take this cat on, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's just something to consider. And that's why, you know, in the grand scheme, I'm not sure any one or two moves the Browns make are going to determine what they do in December and January. But you don't want to lose depth at spots because you're going to need it. And I think the whole point of this camp was Stefanski saying, we don't have a bye till December, right? We believe strongly in the top of our roster, and we're going to do everything we can to protect it and get those guys ready, you know, gradually to hit these landmarks. But yeah, no, O-line and D-line are certainly the most complicated. At linebacker, you know, we know Phillips, or at least we assume Phillips makes the initial roster.
Zach, I'm not 100% on that. I just feel like maybe that's where they don't have to risk a guy on the waiver wire. I know that there's a chance they do that. But that's one of those areas where I'm thinking, do they have to bite the bullet?
Right. No, and they might. And they might. I guess here's your flexibility spots, right? Malcolm Smith could be cut and brought back. You know, you're not going to – even if Elijah Lee is your top special teamer, you know, he's probably not making it, right? Taki having this hamstring makes it complicated, because this is a guy that's probably going to be on the team, but, like, how much are you really going to play base defense, right? And isn't he just keeping the seat warm for the other guys anyway?
That's the question, Zach. If you're only going to play 40% of the time, do you need six?
Yeah. Well, you need six, because
those are your special teamers.
Mac Wilson's not going anywhere, right? No. Walker's going to play all the time. JOK is going to have a role. You know, 35% or 65%, I think, is to be determined, and might be matchup dependent eventually. But he's going to – I mean, Jake Phillips is a big loss. This is a big, big loss. This is a really talented kid. So that's the question. Do you make up for that loss by keeping extra guys? Or do you eventually think that, you know, the safeties and corners can come along and you know, really make plays as you play five defensive backs all the time? I don't know that answer.
Well, that's a great question. And I go to safety now and say, well, the third or the safety that they wanted to play a bunch has not been practicing. And Joe Woods said yesterday he can't run the dime package he wants because Delpit's hurt. So if you're not going to have three safeties on the field, you're going to have two linebackers on the field, right?
So Schwartz is going to be on the active roster, but doesn't it look like Delpit's going to make it and then go to short-term IR?
Probably. I think I need to see him not be on the field next week. In the back of my head, I keep saying, okay, if he's on the field next week and you can practice him seven times before the Chiefs game, can you play him eight snaps?
He hasn't had seven practices in 2 years.
Well, I know. But, like, at some point, the guy's got to get on the field and play, right? I mean, you would think. So, right. I mean, your point makes all the sense in the world, is that, yes, you IR him for 3 weeks, but that's only pushing it back, right? At some point, he's got to come back and practice.
No, you're right.
You know?
You're right. And I think Ronnie Harrison was always going to be the starter. You know, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with his injury history too, but you can put him out there at any spot against Chiefs or anyone else and know he's at least going to be in the right place. Like, Ronnie Harrison, when healthy, to me, is a good football player.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like this, Scott. If you're going to IR to return Phillips, Delpit, and Dunn, or even two of those, somewhere you're going to have to get into either a surprise cut we don't see coming, or cutting a veteran with the intention of bringing him back in 2 or 3 days.
Like, yes.
I don't think there's any other way around it, because now you're exposing to keep – if you need three spots, now you're exposing an extra offensive lineman who you might need. Now you're making a decision on those receivers versus D'Ernest, right? And and you're exposing a DB. Like, I guess we're guessing Redwine's just not going to make the team. We haven't seen him in three or four weeks. Right. He's been
right. Hurt. He came back this week. Right.
Okay. Right. So, yeah, I mean, then you have, again, that Delpit thing looms out there, because you got to keep these, you got to have guys. Like, you're going to keep 10 or 11 DBs. And against Kansas City, you're going to dress 10 or 11 DBs. Now, you can call up one from the practice squad. Javonte Moffitt probably isn't going anywhere. But what's up with MJ Stewart? What's up with Redwine? You know, I think they're keeping AJ Green, but is he ready to play?
That's a good question. I mean, I think they keep him too. I mean, he's getting a bunch of reps with the, you know, with the big time units, right? First and second team,
yeah,
with guys being injured. You know, to me, I think MJ Stewart is a guy that the Browns are trying to cross train, right? He's a nickel. Can they play him some at safety? Mm-hmm. I think they would love that flexibility, but he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks with a hamstring.
Yeah.
Right. So then who becomes that other guy? I mean, is it Redwine, who hasn't practiced much and has just been okay and wasn't this regime's draft pick? There's really not a lot of guys to choose from. So, yeah, I mean, you need at least 10, especially with one of those guys being hurt or more than one being hurt. I don't know. I don't know how that plays out from now to Kansas City, because you're right. They're going to need all those guys. And if push comes to shove, can AJ Green go out there and cover week one against Pat Mahomes? I mean, that's a lot to ask, especially when Green's going to take up one of the spots and he hasn't practiced in a week.
Right. I mean, you know, so the Browns are going to play Sunday. They're going to cut the guys. So they're probably not going to have a real practice till like a week from now, right? End of next week anyway, five to 6 days from now.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you're not getting Greedy and Taki back by next weekend when you really start practicing, then they're not in your active roster plans, right?
Right. So then
this is hard.
Who's your fourth? I mean, so then AJ Green's your fourth corner.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless it's MJ Stewart. Right. But we haven't seen him. We don't have any indication there. Right.
Right. And he can't play outside.
Yeah. No, I thought all along that MJ Stewart was that going to be that last DB, and maybe he still is. I don't know. I don't, you know, especially without the preseason, you're not losing him to another team. So, but I don't know. I mean, maybe he's not ready to play for a month. So that, you know, I don't know that answer either. I guess what we've solved here, Scott, is a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah. Right.
I think we've resolved that our 53-man rosters are probably going to miss more than two.
Yes. Yes. Because of the uncertainty. For sure. For sure.
And I would like to say, like, you know, we talk trades and whatever, and those make great headlines in Twitter lines right now. I think 80% of the time, unless it's a team really looking for a starter, like when Dorsey traded for Wyatt Teller in the last week of August, right? It doesn't happen. But, like, I look – at the offensive lines of some of these bad teams, and like someone's going to give seven for Blake Hanser, Drew Forbes.
Yeah.
And so if the Browns like Nick Harris, and if they think Michael Dunn is going to be back next week or next month, then they do that. Otherwise I think they got to try to find a way to keep those guys. So that's really complicated. I think De'Ernest is making it, and I think at least nine, and wouldn't be shocking 10 O-linemen are making it, because I just think that's where this team is invested. Right. And it's, you know, you're going to lose a guy, you know, you're going to have things come up with injuries and weird circumstances, COVID or not, that are going to hurt you. But I just don't think where you've built a strength and already invested that you expose yourself. So I think nine minimum offensive linemen are making it. And I think both De'Ernest and Felton are making it.
You can get eight. Isn't it eight linemen? You get that extra lineman on your game day, you're active.
Yeah, I think all those rules are the same as last year, right? 16-man practice squad, call up till 11:30 on Sunday morning. All of that stuff is, as I believe, the same.
So if you can say, if you kind of get an extra roster spot by having an extra O-lineman, I think they want to take advantage of that.
Right.
Zach, let me ask you. You mentioned Jordan Elliott real quick. Could you get something for him in a trade? Would it be worth it? Would they give up on a third-round pick from a year ago?
Yeah, I think they would. I don't think they would love to. But I think they would. I think that's a different question than could you get something for him in a trade?
Sure.
But I think, could you say, can we cut him and he clears waivers and he's back on our practice squad and he's able to help us in a month? Yes. And that would allow you to keep Shelton Day, right?
I got you. Yeah.
I don't know how they term, you know, sometimes when I read the questions or the comments, I think people are way too into Johnny Stanton carrying the ball in a preseason game and Davion Davis scoring a touchdown in a preseason game and Malik McDowell taking these poor Giants linemen, right, and throwing them out of the way with his left hand. But, like, Malik McDowell probably has a 10x to 100x better chance of helping you win a game in November than either of those two guys do, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you can't expose him. I don't know. I think Shelton Day has been around 4 or 5 years, right? He's certified just a guy.
But he's a guy that won a Super Bowl, I think, with Joe Woods or Chris Kiffin or
Yeah, no, and listen, and I agree with you that just because they're playing in the preseason doesn't necessarily mean that's how they're viewed, because a lot of this is survival, right? Especially when you went two full practices last week into a game where even your six-round picks were being limited on their snaps.
Right.
But I look at that as Malik McDowell and Elliott were playing in the fourth quarter and Sheldon Day played 11 snaps. I think they were preserving him. I mean, you know, maybe he had a stove thumb, but the only way I can read that off the stat sheet is that Sheldon Day's ahead of those two guys.
Yeah, no, that makes all sense. And that's how it's been through practice, right? I mean, he took a bunch of first-team reps when Billings or Malik Jackson got the day off, you know?
So, Scott, thank you. At Scott Petrak on Twitter, or what is it?
Yeah, okay. At Scott Petrak.
Guys, this is 30 minutes of your life you'll never get back, but if you're still listening, we know you're into this like we are. We appreciate it. It's Civilized Barking. It's twice a week. You know, next week is an unprecedented week in the NFL, guys, because forever and ever, Labor Day weekend has been cut downs and preseason has finished the Thursday before Labor Day weekend. So all that's moved up this year. We'll see how that goes. I don't know the exact schedule, but we got some really exciting stuff, both on the podcast front and the writing front, coming to you as we count down these last 15 days until the Browns opener. I feel the excitement. I know from the readership and the tweeting and all of that stuff that you guys feel the excitement. We appreciate it. You know, bookmark, save, subscribe, all of that. So for Scott Petrak, I'm Zach Jackson. Thank you for listening. And I will talk to you sometime in the next 3 to 5 days on the next Civilized Barking.